And welcome to the second part of the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen. In this half hour, I'll be talking with Nick Fonda. Nick is going to be talking about the A2 milk. So next up, without further ado, we'll get on to the interview, and after that, we'll hear a song.
I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale from The Cube, 88.9 FM, and today we're talking with Nick Fonda. Now, Nick is the author of 4 books, I believe, and you're also an historian, and you have a regular column in The Record, so welcome, Nick. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, today we're going to be talking about A2 milk, so that's quite fascinating to me lately. You've written a few articles in The Record about A2 milk, so would you like to expand on that?
Okay, my expertise is very recent, so I can't, take, I've read up on it and I can talk to you about it, but I don't consider myself an expert by any means. Okay, really briefly, the difference between A1 milk and A2 milk is at the molecular level, you have to picture this in terms of biochemistry. And the best way perhaps to try to picture the difference is to imagine a long complicated molecule like a DNA molecule, but not quite that complicated. There's protein in milk, and the difference between A1 milk and A2 milk is in the protein molecule. Now, that protein molecule, if you picture it as a long string with little beads attached, imagine that one of those beads in A1 milk, let's imagine that particular bead is red. In A2 milk, that particular bead won't be red. It'll be, let's say, blue or green. And that's the only difference. And the difference is, it really is minuscule. However, in the case of A1 milk, that little bead is composition of that bead is made up of things that are potentially harmful. And this again becomes complicated because we're talking about chemistry, and all of us are genetically just a teeny bit different. So one person has blue eyes and one person has brown eyes, and some of us are a little bit more sensitive to one thing or another. The person who, for example, is allergic to peanut butter, or the person who is susceptible to hay fever or whatever. Okay, so these are all little chemical differences. And A1 milk can have an adverse effect on people who are sensitive to this particular little difference in the protein molecule. I don't know if that helps or confuses, but the point I'm trying to make is that the difference is extremely subtle. There's no difference in the taste from what I've been told. I haven't actually bought A2 milk to taste it, but from everything I've read, there's absolutely no difference. You can't tell the difference by looking at it. It looks perfect. It looks identical. Tastes identical. It's identical in all ways except for this tiny little part of the protein molecule. But in the case of A2 milk, the adverse effects that show up with A1 milk do not show up with A2 milk. Does that answer your question?
It answers my question. How come we haven't heard about this A2 milk? Is it something recent? Is it has to do with the pasteurization of milk?
it has nothing to do with pasteurization. That's a completely different process. Mm-hmm. And both A1 milk and A2 milk would be pasteurized to be put up for sale. The reason we haven't heard about it is that it's something that has been discovered relatively recently in the last, I'm going to say the last 25 years or so. And the other reason is that all of these discoveries, as far as I can tell anyway, have been made in New Zealand. One of the big surprises for me in this was to discover that New Zealand, despite its very small size, is a major player in the export of dairy products. And what is exported is almost entirely in the form of milk exports, are almost entirely in the form of powdered milk. So all of this research really goes back to New Zealand, and it, as I say, it's fairly recent, the last 25 years or so. New Zealand is in the throes of changing its herds from A1 cattle to A2 cattle, or to be really precise, A1 A1 to A2 A2. To my surprise, there are quite a number of farms here in the townships that are already in the throes of doing this. They're in the throes of converting their herds so their herds are producing A2 milk rather than A1 milk.
Okay. Now, would that depend on the breed also?
The answer is yes and no. There are breeds where genes are prevalent. For example, Guernsey cattle are, I think, something like 87 or 89% A2. Jersey cattle also are very high, in the high 70s or low 80s percentage of A2. Holstein are much lower, in the mid 40s. So it's not really according to the breed. You can find Holsteins that are A2, just as you can occasionally find a Jersey, which is A1. It's something else. It's not specifically breed-related, although the breed will have a bearing on how many of those A2 cattle or A1 cattle are around.
Okay. How did you even get interested in this, Nick?
Well, it all started over a cup of coffee. I occasionally have meet a friend, Barry Husk, whom you may know. And anyway, you know, we get together and, you know, hi, how are you doing? And I had recently stopped drinking milk and started drinking soy milk. And this was, to some extent, a bit by accident. One of our daughters has been vegan for quite a while. So when she's here, we try to cook vegan and I try to get soy milk instead of regular milk. And it was after a few days of drinking soy milk that the problem I'm having with my hip wasn't completely cleared up, but was sort of it had, the pain had eased somewhat, and I was having, and I wasn't having quite as much difficulty with movement. And anyway, I mentioned this to Barry, and he said, oh, you should be drinking A2 milk. And shortly after, he lent me a book called The Devil in Milk. And this is a book that was published about 10 years ago, a bit more than that. And it was written by a fellow by the name of Keith Woodford, who he teaches agrarian science, basically, in New Zealand. And virtually everything I know comes from this book.
Okay, interesting. So where does one even go about? How do you go about getting A2 milk?
This, too, was very much a surprise. You can actually buy it in the grocery stores if you go to the right grocery store. I live in Richmond. We have our grocery store is at Maxi. When Barry mentioned this A2 milk to me, I said, oh, well, I'll go and see. And no, there's no sign of it. However, a couple of days later, I had reason to be in Windsor. Windsor has a Provigo, and I went there, and sure enough, they had not very many, but they had a few cartons of milk, and the milk is sold by something called the A2 Corporation, and on the milk carton, instead of having K-Bon or seal test or whatever, they have the brand name, A2, and the A is a minuscule A, not a capital A. It's very large on the carton. And the reason I didn't buy a carton, just out of curiosity, was that, you know, I've now basically converted over to non-dairy milk. Right now I'm drinking oat milk, soy milk, and I've tasted almond milk as well, so I'm sort of experimenting a little bit. But I didn't buy it also because of the cost. It was something like $7.50 for a 2-liter carton, which is almost twice as much as what you normally pay for a carton of milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's much more expensive. I was also a bit surprised to discover that for a short while, the Chagnon dairy in Waterloo was selling A2 milk. They no longer are. And in fact, the Chagnon dairy, if I'm not mistaken, is no longer even operating.
Okay. So I guess with the rising costs of food, there's not going to be a lot of interest, I guess, if it's twice the price of milk already.
It's not, no. Now, I also see this, and again, this is also because of what I read about New Zealand, but I can also see it being a bit of a headache for the dairy industry, if you think of it as an industry. Most of our herds are Holstein, and although I have met and spoken to a farmer who has cows that are A2, that make A2, produce A2 milk. At the present time, because we have A2 milk, I just mentioned we have A2 milk, but there's really very little of it. The dairy industry would have to make the following kind of reasoning. Since A2 milk doesn't seem to have any of the ill effects of A1 milk. And again, we're talking about just a small segment of the people. According to what I've read, something like 15% of the population in Canada is averse to milk. They can't drink milk. It's possible that the number is higher, but that's the number that I read. And I say the number could be higher because I've been surprised by the number of people I have bumped into in the last, I'm going to say the last month or so since I started working on this, who don't drink milk for one reason or another. I have a niece, for example, I didn't know this, her father told me not long ago, that she hasn't been drinking milk since she was a teenager because she discovered more or less on her own that if she didn't drink milk, she didn't have problems with acne, which is a teenage problem. In my own case, you know, the joint pain that I had was much less. And I've heard of, I'm going to say, half a dozen other people who, unbeknownst to me, you know, stopped drinking milk either a short while ago or a long time ago. So there are people who are affected by milk. And in Canada, the push for A2 milk, it's all being sold as being more easily digestible. In New Zealand, it seems that they were saying, well, you know, if you've got this, that, or the other problem, it could be because of the fact that you're drinking A1 milk. Anyway, the problem for the dairy industry is that it would make a great deal of sense to convert over to A2 milk because it is, as they say here in Canada, more easily digestible. Or, as they say in New Zealand, it avoids, you know, a long series of potential health problems. However, at the same time, you want to make that change very quietly because you don't want to harm the dairy industry that's there already. In other words, you don't want somebody saying, oh, geez, you know, I've got that particular problem. Maybe I'll stop drinking milk. The dairy industry would, they're already having a bit of a hard time for all sorts of reasons, including the fact that, you know, we now import milk and milk products that, from the States that we didn't used to. So they're worried about things like market share. They're worried about keeping their sales up. And yet, long term, it makes a great deal of sense to convert your herds to A2 so that you have a larger number of people who are potential buyers of your product.
Okay. Do you see this something as something that may be happening in the future, farmers converting to the A2?
It's definitely happening. A week or so ago, I spoke to a farmer in Valcour by the name of Dominic Bourassa, and in the last, he started, I think, 3 years ago. He's in the throes of converting his herd from Holstein to Jersey. In fact, almost all of his cows are now Jerseys. And he is breeding his cattle to make sure that they produce A2 milk. It's not a difficult process, strangely enough. And according to what I've read, you know, within two generations, about 10 years, a herd can be completely converted from A1 to A2.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so you mentioned digestive issues, and you mentioned your hip. Also, probably there's a correlation between the A1 and inflammation, maybe?
Yes, there is. There is. And again, doesn't affect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Only affects a relatively small part of the population. But for those people, it's there. I mean, peanut butter is great. I eat peanut butter. I eat a lot of peanut butter. Mm-hmm. Butter, okay, always have. You know, for me, peanut butter is no problem. However, for the person who's allergic to peanut butter or allergic to peanuts, ooh, you know, peanut butter is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit the same thing with milk. Not many people are affected, but if you're one who is, well, that's it. You can't drink it. You know, if milk has an adverse effect on you, you're not gonna buy it.
No, exactly. So that's very interesting. The A2 milk, and it's a possibility of getting it maybe in Provigo. You have to definitely look for it, I guess, on the carton.
If you want to try it, go to a Provigo store. And actually, for that matter, if the next time you're on your computer, if you just Google A2 Milk Corporation, there is a website, and they have a long list of stores that sell A2 milk.
Okay.
Food chains, you know, some of which we don't have here, like Sobeys, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But Sobeys and Loblaws and Provigo, they're all interrelated. They're all the same company.
Okay, that's a good idea. Good. Well, thanks very much. Anything else you'd like to add before we go, Nick?
No. Just for your intro, I've actually got 5 books to my credit, and I write regularly for the Record, but I don't have a column as such. I just submit stories and they're just run as stories. I'm basically a freelancer for the record.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're very interesting stories. I definitely follow you on the record and love to do an interview with you sometime about all your books, too. It sounds fascinating. Are they available at Townshippers?
Boy, oh boy. At one time, they were available at Townshippers, and at one time, they were available at Black Cat Books as well. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a hold of one of my books, probably the easiest thing to do would be to, again, go to a website, Baraka Books, that's my publisher,
mm-hmm.
and get through them. But they're also available on Amazon, it seems.
Okay, that's good. Good. Okay, well, we thank you very much, Nick.
Okay, Maureen, thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Much appreciated.
Have a good day.
Take care.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
We just heard the song. It's called Milk, and it's by the artist called Garbage. Strange name for an artist. And don't forget, every Tuesday night here on CJMQ, it's Radio Bingo. Starts at 7 p.m., so please have your radio. And we have $1,200 every week to giveaways, and we have 4 games, so you might be a lucky winner. The list of businesses selling bingo cards
is on our website. So just type in www.cjmq.fm, go to the announcements, and they are there. There's also a link to our new bingo website on our internet site. Okay, next up, we're going to have a little bit of health news here, the connection to kidney cancer and bananas. A study in Sweden in 2005 discovered that bananas are especially effective in reducing the chance of developing kidney cancer. In fact, the study found that women who consume between 4 and 6 bananas per week actually decrease the likelihood by 50%. Unripe bananas can lower levels of cholesterol and blood pressure as well, while the lectins found within this young fruit can also be beneficial for those who have HIV. And even when a banana's natural life is coming to an end, overripe forms of the fruit can bring benefits. Indeed, according to research that appeared in Food Science and Technology Research, bananas that are starting to spot increase white blood cell power to a tune of 800% in comparison to green bananas. Thanks very much to Nick Fonda for the interview on A2 Milk, and also to Mary Hill for telling us all about the Boutique Encore.